All right, good evening. It is Wednesday, June the 22nd, 2016. Another Wednesday with you got Thursday. This is a call taken care of by Winfrey with Terry Brown doing the channeling. My name is Gijs Minderhout. This is, as usual, a simulcast with a conference call. I'm calling in from Magalia, California. There are many people online.
Okay.
And those who are listening in on the internet, we can't see you, we can't hear you, but we are glad you are participating with this group
Hi.
Of lightworkers.
Hi, are you?
We had more people on the phone line. Thank you for being here. If you have a chance, please say a name and location.
Can you hear me? Hi.
I hear you loud and clear.
Okay, there's some additional sound in your microphone. I don't know if it's plugged in right, but it's like there's air going around.
Yes. What is it?
Got a fan on or something, right?
It's the blue fan over here. Is this better?
Okay, it is a fan. Yeah, just know that it does come through. It's like, kind of like that, you know.
Hey, thank you for mentioning. It's hot. It's
all
hot
right
here in Magalia, believe me.
Oh, I'll bet it's really hot there.
Thank you, Dirk. And more people joined in. Welcome. If you want to, please say your name and location.
It's Marilyn.
Hi, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Yeah, hi.
All right.
Yeah,
who else
is Chris.
Who else joined in? Hello, Chris.
Hey, hi. How you doing?
Hey, good to have you, my friend.
Good to be here.
All right.
Hey, hi. It's Eric in New Mexico.
Good evening
hey,
to
Eric.
You, Eric. To the call.
Thank you, brother.
All right. More people? Aliens, maybe? All right. In the meantime, 602. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
This is Marilyn in Flagstaff.
Hello, Marilyn. Welcome to the call.
Thank you. Hi. Good to be here.
All right. Great to have you. All right. Although we're past the hour, Ren is still brushing his teeth, probably. Helicopter has been hanging there for a while.
Hi, Terry.
Hi. Hello.
Hi, Terry.
Hi, good.
Hey, Terry.
Hey.
Good to have you, Terry.
Oh, thank you.
All right.
Where's your boss?
He'll be here in a second.
All right. Good evening, Wynn.
Hello.
Hi, Wynn.
Thank you for being here, Wynn.
Well, thank you for being here.
All right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location. Colleen.
Oh, hi, guys. This is Colleen in D.C. It's the ball.
Hello, Colleen. Thank you for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you for being my backup on Monday.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah,
right. Good evening. Welcome to the call. Please say your name and location.
Hey, Rick, Iowa City.
Hi, Rick. Good evening.
Rick.
Hi.
All right. We are going to start.
Give a couple more minutes, because I sent my email out late for a change, okay?
All right.
But I sent it to new people.
move your microphone a little bit away from you, Wynn.
Okay.
Yeah.
Go in. Are you laughing at me?
Yes. But with love, you know.
Hey, Wynn, it's been a year since I came out there already.
It's not been a year.
It's been a year since I went to Sedona. It'll be a year in a couple weeks.
Look, don't get sentimental on me, okay?
Oh, I wasn't.
One-year anniversary. Is that whoever mentioned the solar revolution thing? I'm looking at something. Is that about the sun having the power to transform humankind? Is that what you were talking about?
Yeah. It was great, wasn't it, Marilyn?
It was fabulous.
That link
you sent me was for the whole thing, not just the trailer.
I was shocked. That's fantastic. It was meant to be.
author.
What trailer?
Trailer on the movie.
Solar Revolution.
Mm-hmm.
It's about 2012 and expansion of consciousness.
Mm-hmm. By the sun. There's an author, Maurice Cotterell. He's been on Coast to Coast a couple times. He's written some interesting books about the sun.
Oh, yeah. I think it's very important to get out and get some sun.
You know, it's something that I would like to ask questions about, okay?
Yeah, that would be interesting.
To see if it's on the right track, at least from our sources' point of view, you know?
Yeah, good idea.
You know, it, one thing that's just very, very hard for me to believe is that there's going to be some incident that transforms everybody's consciousness. I would welcome it, okay? But since each person is an individualized part of creation and is making their own path, to have one incident that changed everybody's path seems to me like, for those people that don't want that incident, it would violate their free will. Now, could they actually change their mind and want that incident? Maybe so. I don't know. But those are the questions I have. Usually it reads that way. I can see that there can be waves coming through the planet and that people that are tuned in may have an easier time with their evolution, of their getting through their stuff. Do you know, just like on our call, we bring in waves. Who's making all that background noise? Is that Christopher?
No, Mr. Free, it's not me.
Hello.
Hi.
I'm here to retake the filter.
Oh,
Who is that? Do you have him muted?
Usually they leave him like 5 or 6 different.
Now, we haven't muted everybody yet.
Do you want to do it? Yeah. Do you have any?
Did Raiden come on?
How many do you need?
Raiden called me and said he was home and he couldn't get on. Is Raiden there?
Sorry?
Yeah.
They gave him a number. They were off last. They called the Monday number. It was just a flip.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Good.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
So, as I was saying, you know...
Have any recording?
No, I just want to finish this. I don't want to record this. As I was saying, that hopefulness in the future is a good thing in certain ways. But hopefulness for things that don't happen ends up making you feel like you were betrayed, and you end up worse off than you were before the hopefulness. Hopefulness is like a temporary kind of, well, something's going to happen, and I'm finally going to get out of all this stuff, and God's not going to let us down, and Jesus isn't going to let us down. And then if it doesn't happen in the way you were programmed for it to happen, you get really let down, okay? So I have gone beyond hopefulness myself. And I understand hopefulness, but I am prepared in my mind for anything that happens. And I'm not afraid to die, okay? I've internalized the idea really well that things go on, that I go on, that I've been around for a long time. I'll be around for a long time. And so whatever happens, I'm going to flow around it. And we've talked to enough deceased people that I get at least a glimmer of an idea of what it's like to be dead. Some of you have been on that ride with us. So one of the ways that it's easy to captivate attention is to appeal to the human need, or I won't call it a need, a desire for hopefulness, because things can look really bad. And I ask our sources, and they say the jury's still out about exactly what happens in the future. And I had said the other day that I was looking at the video of Katy Perry. And some of you know that a lot of rock music has gotten, what's the word?
On the rocks.
On the rocks. Yeah. It's decadent. It's got guilty pleasure to it. But it's filled with Illuminati symbols. Filled with it, okay? And particularly this one Katy Perry video called, if you want to look at it, it's called Dark Horse on YouTube. And it's like you will see the pyramid, the all-seeing eye pyramid, all over that movie. You'll see her making Illuminati hand signs, and 1.5 billion views. 1.5 billion views. Okay? Now, that doesn't mean everyone that watches that video is in the Illuminati, but it shows how powerful their programming is. Because the video programs certain attitudes in the mass consciousness, not just hers, many of them. It programs goddess worship. It programs men being powerless. It programs, now you know, this is a big deal, especially if you're a woman. You know, I'm going to get in trouble now, okay, but I'll say it anyway. You know that for a very long time, women have been oppressed, and women have been second-class citizens, and they have been slaves to their men. One of the things in Muslims, when people talk about Muslims, is in the Muslim doctrine, women are still slaves. Legally slaves, just about, if you look it up, okay? And so there's a swing the other way, which is to turn men into slaves. Now, that's all in 3D, okay? That is not the law of one. In the law of one, men and women need each other in certain ways. They have different sides of the hologram. And if they are operating at the highest level, there's no slavery. People give each other what they need because the needs are intrinsic. It's not because somebody wants to enslave somebody that they have needs. The problem is, the way they fulfill their needs is to create a slave situation. Both men and women can do that. And the idea of some of the negative sources that are programming this realm, influencing this realm, is to create people to be slaves to each other and to their needs, and not honoring the law of one. So it's like this is a huge programming, and when people are programmed, and when there's you know, intentions to constantly keep that programming alive. And we look for, in hopefulness, something to change. I ask myself, if it changes, how is this programming going to change? Are people just going to change their programming? I observe myself, and I observe on these calls, many of you have changed your programming as a result of being on these calls. But it doesn't happen fast, and it doesn't happen easily. And part of the thing that helps the change, the programming, is creating a new way of having community and a new way of having association with other people that has higher vibrations attached to it. And we have a lot of blessings in this group. We have Terry, who is really a pure soul and is highly intended. We're very highly intended in her work, where I don't think anything negative ever comes through her. If it does, it's rare, but I don't see it. And we've worked with Carla Rucker for 5 years, another totally highly intended soul. We've worked with Terry Friedman, who had a connection with Jesus. How many blessings can we have, okay? And then we have me, who is just, you know, kind of very, very careful not to let my guard down, because I know how pervasive the negative can be. And, I mean, so in any case, be hopeful, but pray. Be hopeful, but don't be attached to the hope. Be in the moment and pay attention to everything. If you really want to base your idea in the future on what's happening, you have to keep your eyes open, wide open, because it's very tricky out there. And that's all I wanted to say and on that topic. And I invited new people to ask questions, and I thought I was starting the email early enough that I'd finish it, and I didn't until the last 5 minutes of. So if any of you just came on, I'm sorry for sending it so late. But there will be more chances in the future, and the thing about these calls that we do is that we get a lot of really awesome information. We have ongoing rapport with a group soul that says it created the universe that existed before there was a physical universe, and they've put themselves at our behalf. Are we recording yet, guys?
This conference is being recorded.
This is June 22nd, 2016. And this is our Wednesday night call where we ask questions to our sources that you guys submit. And I was just saying, we have this great opportunity on these calls. We have amazing rapport. We've had some of the most amazing people on the planet participating with us. Carla Rucker, Terry Friedman, Terry Brown, and many of you are amazing. And even when you're quiet, you're amazing. And And of course, we have this group soul that identifies itself as the Council of Elohim, that says they created the universe, and that they are not God in the way we normally think of God, but they are a very wise and expansive intelligence entity. And they not only give us the most extraordinary wisdom on the planet, they also have this very caring, loving energy that they extend into our group to the people that keep coming and reach for it. And you don't owe them anything. There is no obligation. And you can take that love and use it to transform yourself, because it's hard to find that kind of love in the world. And they don't abandon us. They don't obligate us. And in essence, we are part of their creation, as I understand it. And they have always been there for this creation, but people have to ask in order to make the connection. They have to feel their vibe. So somehow or another, we have been chosen, and we chose back to be able to be an intermediary for them and the Ra group into the planet. So this is something that you can take advantage of for yourself, and many of you are taking advantage of it. It's not, you have to spend a little exploratory time figuring it out, because if everything I said is true, then all that doesn't mean you can snap your fingers and everything changes, because you can't. Not my experience, anyway. But it starts off changing. You start it's like a new classroom, and with parameters that it's unfamiliar parameters, so you have to like pay enough attention to get into it, okay, to get the feeling of it, if you do. And, you know, may not work for you, and it may. And it may, you have to be curious enough to keep paying attention, okay? And we have some questions here. I don't see any questions from new people. And we're going to start in just a second. I'm just compiling the questions. Terry, anything you'd like to say?
Okay, I'm unmuted. We're just going into the monsoon season over here in Sedona, so there might be in late August, late June and July and August, they generally have rain in the afternoon, cools off, lightning and thunder and thunderstorms roll through. So it did a little bit yesterday. Today seems clear, but it's getting into the season for monsoons. It depends, like 120 and 118 in Phoenix. We had a blackout yesterday. Probably a lot of people having their air conditioners on, but we're fine now.
Okay. All right. I'm ready to start. And let me,
okay.
Let's call in the light. Father, Mother, God, We ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. And any negativity be taken to the highest realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We see ourselves in the flow of energy radiating from the center of the universe through the galaxies, through the Milky Way, through the solar system, through the outer energy fields of planet Earth, through our bodies, and into the center of the Earth. And right now, we invoke a group energy connection while maintaining the sovereign integrity of our souls. And we invite those sources that are positive, service to others, honoring the law of one, to join with us. And we create a protected space that only the positive has access to. Anything not of that nature must leave now. And do we have our sources present?
Yes, this is Ra'an. And we greet you all, each and every one of you, and the love light of the one infinite creator. We are assistants. We are not gods. And if we ever say anything that does not resonate with you, do not take it to heart because it does not apply to you at that time. Do you have questions?
I'm going to start out with a question. People were talking about the before the call officially started. And the question has to do with the sun. And there is this theory out there that the sun is going to send a wave of energy that is going to transform the entire planet at once. And I thought I'd ask you to address this. Is there any truth to that? Is the sun going to send a wave of energy that's going to affect a portion of the people on the planet that are receptive to the energy of it? The theory is that that's going to lead to some kind of spontaneous ascension. I'll turn it over to you and get your take on that idea. Thank you.
There are many people on the planet at this time who believe that there will be a solar flare that will reach Earth and will... There's several things in play here. That a solar flare would reach Earth and would overload the grid and the satellites and affect the electric grid, and if there was a solar flare, it could indeed do that. And considering that the Earth is a composite of living beings with a consciousness of its own, and when it is harassed by wars and explosions, it is hard on Earth, and forest fires is hard on the trees, and it does signal to the sun. There is a connection between Earth and sun, and sometimes the Earth does ask for help. This is not the pie in the sky that I think that you are thinking of here, or some people are thinking of, that suddenly everything will miraculously change into everything golden and a golden age. And people have to work through their things. There is the other factor that as Earth and the whole solar system moves through the galaxy, the energies, frequencies are changing. The resonance frequencies are changing, which are accelerating the progress of the DNA and the evolution of the human race and other body systems within the spheres of the planets. This is a totally different thing, and it is raising the resonance and increasing the evolution and the perception, and as the frequencies change, the individuals are bathed in a different frequency. The
I want to ask a question about that. Excuse me for interrupting. But the question is, when the Earth is moving through these frequencies, through these energies, will it affect everyone? Or if someone is really closed down, will they be numb to the shift? And the second thing is, will it change the DNA of both service to self and service to others in an evolutionary manner?
Yes. There is three factors here. One of them is that an individual is a composite being, and it is made up of the individual, the body, and the as the frequencies change, it changes the frequency in the DNA of the actual body to conform to the higher frequencies. That is one of the factors. If somebody is very closed down, they may not be available themselves to notice the changes or very much be affected by the changes, but their body system may become affected by the changes. But if a person is closed down, they may find it harder and harder to get by in the raised frequencies of Earth.
Mm-hmm. So in that case, will they just die and be recycled to continue?
It depends upon the individual. They may go to sleep for a long time and, like Bruce Van Winkle, and wake up many, many thousands of years from now and decide that they need to work their way out of it, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
It is an individual thing.
Okay. Well, thank you for answering that, and I hope that brings some clarification to some of the ways that people are talking about it. And of course, we could be wrong, you know. It's up to you to decide what's true, okay?
Yeah, now, there is another factor in that as the frequencies raise, the frequency of the sun also raises it. The whole solar system also raises its frequency. There is that factor, too.
Okay. But just to be very clear, it does not sound that the frequencies are going up, but it doesn't seem like there's going to be one spontaneous flash where everything changes overnight and everyone is suddenly different.
No. Individuals have a continuity in their track, and if the frequencies were to get suddenly gap up higher, then some of the people might not be able to keep up with that and may phase out and take a vacation.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Okay, next question. This is from Deb in La Pine, Oregon. One of my friends has been trying to send me Reiki for a while now. She's not getting through to me, like there's a wall blocking her. Is this my higher self blocking her, or is there another explanation? Thank you.
We take a look at the interaction.
I see a discrepancy in frequencies here. And we see a cutoff in the frequencies being sent. You may be getting it, but you may be getting the frequencies that are being sent, but the frequencies that are higher that one would wish were there may not be there. Just keep observing and do not be too disturbed that it is not coming through. There is a band of energies within you that find it hard to pick up those frequencies, but it is what it is, and we would not be too concerned. Just keep observing, and as we're talking, we're looking at your energy there, and just keep sending love to those energy layers that aren't picking it up so well. And also note that in the frequencies, the higher frequencies that you may wish that are being sent may have cut off to the sender.
Thank you. I would like to say that when people study a healing technique, does not mean they have mastered the ability to send the Christ consciousness through that technique. It's like sometimes you have to look at the person's level of mastery, and particularly how have they done with other people to try to figure out, is it their lack of mastery of the technique, or is it your inability to receive? Let me just turn it over to our sources, since they're looking at it from a far bigger aspect than I am. Do they want to comment on that?
Yes. There are actual technical reasons for the non-receipt. And so just the fact that you are noticing what is going on, and it is not being received in the manner that you would wish, that is an extraordinary amount of information that places you at a point in time to work from and to grow from and to take a look at that. Which frequencies within you would like to pick it up, but it seems to dead end there and doesn't resonate there, and which frequencies are missing in what's being sent to you. See how receptive you can be to further fine-tune this process and see what is going on.
Thank you. The following question is from someone that would like to be anonymous, but it might be a general enough question, and you might be able to pick her up. She is in Canada, and I hope that didn't say too much. But the question is, many years ago, my husband and I separated, and he left to return to Europe. Everything was fine, but now, after all this time, many, many years, he has been pressuring me to renew our relationship. I believe that it is because of his illness, as I have never encouraged this. My
his
question
what?
Is illness.
Oh, illness. Okay.
Yeah. my question is this. How does one know if there is any karma left in a relationship? I want to make sure that I don't have to go through this again. Thank you and Terry so much. And I'll make a comment here, just because they can comment on my comment. The real question is, when you think that there's karma, then by going into the relationship, it actually means you're going into the karma. And if you're happy and joyous and you're not in the relationship, then you're not in that karma of that relationship, and it may be released. The thing about it is can you go into it and contribute to this other person's life? You're a very, very strong woman and very loving and caring. And, you know, I find that I make a big difference in people's lives that I get involved with. And as long as I am going in and I have a way to express love in that relationship to the other person, now I'm not talking about a personal relationship, but everything kind of, in the law of one, everything kind of blends together. I mean, not an intimate relationship, I guess I should say. So can you go into the relationship and be able to give to that person? Or is it going to be where you're just feeling his neediness and have to take care of him? And that may not be wrong either. You know, where there's karma, sometimes somebody has done enormous things for you in other lifetimes, and there's this gratitude on an unconscious level that wants to reciprocate that. So let me turn it over to our sources, and they can comment on my comment and whatever they want. Thank you.
Thank you. If you start over again with a blank face and take a look at the relationship as far as how it meshes with your personal growth goals, your personal goals for accomplishment, your personal goals for what you want to achieve, and then add the other person in a creative way, is it something that will go along or allow you to continue with your goals, or is it going to stifle your search and your achievement and your creativity of your goals? Are you going to get greater love relationship and giving to that relationship? Is this going to develop your ability to love? Take a look at what your own personal goals are, and before you bring the other person into your thoughts about this, what is it that will give you the growth, the thing that you are after, your purpose? How does it relate to your interaction with this person when you bring the other person into the equation? Is it, can you tell? Then if you went to visit the person, if your question is to go visit the person for a couple of weeks or a week and just check it out, but make it known that you're leaving on a certain time so you don't get stuck. If you wish to learn more about pursuing it, then go easy and see how it looks to put your foot in the water and to see what changes he has made, and how he could then interact with you and find out more if it is simply a needy thing on his part that he is feeling insecure because of his illness.
Thank you. Next question is, the person wants to be anonymous, and I'll ask their question. But just in general, it's good for you to say the city you're in. It helps them tune into you, okay? But maybe this is kind of an expansive enough question that our sources can tune into it and get an answer.
Is this a different person now?
A different person, yes.
Okay.
New question. I am contributing a lot to a project, and the more I do, the more I feel people assume I will do it without compensation. I thought I was going to get paid for some extra work I took on, and the CEO asked me if he could pay me. Now he says he can't. I have been very upset about this. Why is this happening? Thank you.
Well, there's different layers to this question. Why is it happening? Maybe they had a reversal either in fortune, or they had a reversal in thoughts because you were contributing and they felt it would keep on. If you are expecting it, just cutting the whole thing off at this point and checking into the future, what is their expectation now, that you will keep on contributing for nothing? If they are, if you need to be compensated and it is something that needs to, they need to give back, then take a look for the future. And if they say they can pay you in the future, have them pay you a little bit every week or something to prove that they can do this. And if it is not worth, if you need to be compensated, then make it known to them that you do need to be compensated. You need to declare where you are at and make it known where you're at and what your true position is, so that they do not just take advantage of you. If you make it known what you need and make the space for what you need, then the space will either appear, or you can find something where the space will appear that you can be paid what you need to be compensated for.
Thank you. I think that it's important to talk without being defensive or angry or a victim. Clear yourself of those patterns and just, you know, that was in the past. And honestly say, you know, it's not clear to me that I put in all this extra time for no compensation. It's your business. I have a lot of things to do with my life. And I'd like to have some kind of agreement, even if you can't pay it now, that it'll be paid back sometime in the future. Or else I'm going to limit my extra time that I put in gratis to like 2 hours a week. Something like that. Get it clear in your mind and just be very neutral and loving and say that to the person who would make the decision, okay? Next question here. This is from Janice in La Place, Louisiana. About 10 years or so ago, I had become very anemic from an infection and had to have a blood transfusion. Was this a bad thing, mixing someone else's blood with mine because of my DNA.
Thank you. Your body should be able to handle it and to ingest it and to work with it and to maintain your DNA control. So we do not see it as a bad thing, but when one has a transfusion, one needs to be aware that if the donor has different diseases, it may be transmitted. So transfusions can be detrimental from that standpoint. We are not saying that it was with you, but we see that your body has been able to take the transfusion and handle it. And
thank
to
you.
Be able to achieve what it needed from the transfusion.
Thank you. Margaret in New Zealand, I love that I heard from you today. You know, I really like to feel the connection with you. And, but I think I'm going to put your question off till next week. Please ask it again so I know you'll be listening. Because I had put this out for new people, giving them priority tonight. And there's one more question that we only have time for one more if we do it. This is like one of those complicated questions, but we'll try it out. And this is from Dr. Abibola Adesuya. God, I can't say it. Adesuyi, I think. I think he's in Chicago. But this is kind of an esoteric question. There is a phenomena called the mandala effect. It's a phenomena where a good portion of the population remember things differently than they actually exist currently. As the name implies, many people believe that Mandela died in prison in the 1990s. Many swear
Mandela,
by it. Nelson Mandela, he's talking about,
Mandela?
Maybe
yes.
Mandela.
Mandela is Indian
symbol. Sorry. Mandela.
A set of symbols.
Yeah. Many believe that Mandela died in prison, and many swear by it and remember watching it on TV. But of course, we now know that he was released from prison, became president, and died a few years ago. The same with Billy Graham. People thought he died years ago, but is still alive. Other such examples is people remembering the children's book, The Berenstain Bears, but now is the Berenstain Bears, or the 1980s Superman actor Christopher Reeves. How I remember it is now Christopher Reeves emoji. I'm not sure about that one. There are many other examples, and it's a real phenomenon, and people are thinking it's a merging of two parallel realities or the lifting of the veil where others believe it's the effects from sin. I wanted to know, is this just mass hysteria or is this a true effect, and why is it happening, and is it good or bad? Thank you.
Thank you. There is an effect on the double game or the doubles. The replacing of a leader with another leader that is in better physical health that is made to look like the first leader and act like the first leader and studies the first leader's actions. It happens more than in politics. It happens in the realm of theater for different people who are well known, and it is this a bad thing or a good thing? The people that are doing it think that it is a good thing because the public would have such a terrible loss at the loss of a leader, so they put another one in or for their own purposes. We are sorry to say this, but this is some of the things, some of the reasons why this is happening.
Well, in other words, people, why do people think something has happened? Is that because there was an announcement that it happened on the news, and then later that person shows up as a double? How does the mechanism work?
The person in the spotlight is for some reason not doing well, and they put a double in, like a stuntman would. They would double a stuntman in the movies to take over for the hero in difficult scenes. Well, in certain cases, like a leader was sick and they would put a double in to take his place or act. And then if the person got really sick and ill, then eventually the double may become the one that takes the stage.
Mm-hmm. Okay. That is going to be our last question for tonight, but could you take a moment and just send some loving energy to Margaret in New Zealand, because I know she worries about herself.
We do. We love Margaret. We love you, Margaret. We feel your energy, your pure energy. We feel it, and we send you love. We are there with you.